Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Zeke, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, man. Been having technical difficulty all day long out here. But we're here. We're live. I'm just getting this thing plugged in right now, so who knows how long we'll be on the air for. What's going on, man? Anything good? We've got a lot of rape going on in Holly Springs.
Yeah, nothing here. Took the car out last Friday, and it rained, and I just didn't have time to take it out last night. And our track shut down today. So.
I was watching some of the film and highlights. Donnie put his car in the wall. And, you know, it's something I wanted to talk about. And I'm still trying to talk. But, let me see. Hold on. Give me one sec. They've been kind of clusterfuck tonight. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Any better? Okay, here we go. There. John Yee hit the wall, and it goes back to what we were talking about, a few weeks, all these guys grudge racing on the starting line, and you get all these guys on the starting line. John Yee has some kind of oil leak, leaves the line, takes off, gets under his own oil leak, car goes sideways across the track, hits a guardrail. So it just shows me, what good are all those people on the starting line for? Why are they there? Obviously, they're not looking at the car. Obviously, they're not helping out with the car. Pretty much, it's just in the fucking way.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you know, now, before I get, now, you know, now the shit's got to stop. All those guys, 10 guys on the starting line, and no one could say, hey, he's dropping oil. Because, one, nobody's even looking, for that matter.
That's the job of your crew. You know, there should be a guy, you know, when you have a handful of people out front there, you know, guys should be looking at the first 60 foot pretty hard, and then take a glance out and then turn around, make sure the car is fine, you know. So I'm usually the guy out in front. But
yeah,
when you know, that's a starter's problem too. You know, the starter's job, you know, that works for the tracks to pay attention to that stuff too.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is grudge racing too, and who knows what's going on.
That doesn't make it right.
Yeah, I know, but it's not that it makes it right or wrong or anything. It's just, it's one of them things to where, who's doing what, you know, who's going to be whatever. And all that background noise is coming for me because I got people here tonight at the house. Couldn't kick them out in time.
The problem with most people are, and I find it with not my car, but the 55 Chevy, that I help with, Todd Abrams.
Yeah.
You get a lot of guys that just want to be a part of something because the car is so cool. The car is totally cool. So they don't know what the hell they're doing out there. They're just trying to be a part of something. And, you know, it's just much bigger than that. That dude in the driver's seat, that is his life on the line. And these cars haul ass. And, you know, I know guys that have raced for 20, 30 years and never been in the wall. And I've known guys that have great drivers, you know, the best of the best that have been in the wall multiple times, you know. So your time is due, you know. And the people you surround yourself with, you know, is important.
Well, that's where, you know, they just got to start saying, hey, got five guys to come up to the line. That's it. Five guys up on that line. Or this, you make another line where they can't go past.
Right. I mean,
you know, put that line behind the water box. So the water box is as far as they could go. Because but the thing is though, too, Zeke, and here's what I think the problem is anyway. You get all these guys up on the line. Everybody's in the middle of the lanes. No one can see if there's any oil on the ground because everybody's standing around so close to the cars.
Right.
So moving back, put an imaginary line across the water box, behind the water box. Do not pass here. If you pass here, you will be kicked off the track. Five guys, that's it. I don't care if a guy's got a 9-guy team, a 10-guy squad, five guys, that's it. Five guys,
yeah.
I think, including the driver. So four guys plus the driver.
Yeah, and the car behind that car in the water box, or, you know, a car back, one guy to check out the starting line. Because, you know, a guy that needs to look at what's going on the starting line.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about really fast shit. I'm not talking,
You're talking about, well, these guys are fast. These guys are all in the fours.
Oh,
you know,
I understand that.
Out there.
I understand that.
I get it. Let the one guy from the crew go out and say, hey, no, my guy's coming up next, man. I'm making sure we got a good spot. I get that. I let that dude come up.
Right.
Keep three guys back with the car, be it on the radio or whatever. Fourth guy going out, checking out the track. All right, bring him up. And then he's out there trying to get, you know, find that good gooey spot. And
as a spectator, though, I don't like to be on the starting line. As a spectator, I don't like to be on the starting line or in the burnout box. Hell, even in the tower. I mean, my local track, I'm in the tower all the time. Usually it's chit-chat or something, and, you know, but I'm watching too. But as a spectator, man, to me the best spot to spectate is, even in 8-mile racing, is at 8 mile at the track. 8 mile is perfect. You can see what's going on at the beginning. You can see what's going on at the end. You know, that's where I like to be when I spectate.
No, I agree. I'm trying to see on these sites, these grudge sites, see who's doing what. And you know what? I saw that. I actually liked the picture of Dirk Wagner. With his car, it was on a calendar. Good for him, man.
Yeah. Snap-on makes toilet paper now.
Hey, listen, all kidding aside, man, and whatever little bitch session that him and I are in, he's got a pretty clean-ass fucking car. That car's...
Yeah.
I think that car's probably one of my favorite Vegas just looking wise, I mean, it's like it's a clean little car, man. I like that car. I like that car a lot.
The Vega, though.
That's what makes it so badass. That you know, you have certain things. I mean, like, you know, the wheels on it, I'll give it an 8. You know, the paint, I give it a 10. The fact that it's a Vega is off the scale. You know,
I haven't had any alcohol. Do not make me crack the Captain Morgan open tonight.
Hey, Motor Trend Car of the Year, baby. I'm just saying what they're saying. Motor Trend Car of the Year. So I mean, it's gotta be doing something good.
They were smart when they canceled the production of that thing.
But, you know, it's like, it just is what it is, man. That's just.
No, but that's pretty cool. It makes a calendar. That is actually pretty cool.
Hey, they even got him a good month. They even gave him a good month. They didn't give him like February, or they gave him July. Bam.
They gave him the best month. That's what disappoints me, man. I was born in July.
See, that's just for you then. See, that's their time to sing happy birthday to you. Take this card and dump it, babe.
I hurt my feelings.
Come on now. You know, you could paint your car that color and tell her we could put a little emblem on it that says Vega. You know, you got the fat Vega in New Jersey. You know, that's a Nova, so you could be the Ford Vega.
I can be the fast Vega.
No.
Hey, you said it.
No, man, good for him. I mean, I mean, it's pretty cool that he got that, and it's a Snap-on calendar too. So it's just like, you know what? They probably get cars from all over the country that want to try and get them calendars. That's a big deal, man. I think it's a big deal anyway.
I mean, it is a big deal because, like, you know, my car is pretty much known in the bracket world and the super gas world. My car is pretty much known in the South. The guy that originally built the car, dude, he kicked ass in super gas with that car. It won like 2 major events in super gas. excuse me. The car has been always highly competitive. With the 3 guys who have owned the car since it was built. I've never been approached to be put in anything or anywhere, you know, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's like, I mean, I don't know what other cars are in there, but shit, it don't matter. We got a Vega in there, man. That's representing. It doesn't even matter what the other 11 months. You got a Vega in July. Man. Right car, right spot, right month, man. Good for him. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. I'm getting ready to I did something with my car. Next Sunday, because it's Halloween.
Yeah.
We actually volunteered my car at the church for the trunk or treat, where, you know, little kids come and get candy. I'm a little nervous. My wife is totally excited, but I'm a little nervous. I mean, they're expecting like 2,000 to 3,000 kids to come to this thing.
Oh, no shit.
So, yeah, yeah. But I've always been good with the kids, though. I put them in the car. You know, the parents kind of freak out because, you know, they're afraid something's going to get broken. But, dude, you know as well as I do, what are you breaking a race car? There ain't nothing to break.
Yeah.
It's just chaining the steering wheel. So.
I got to tell you, man, you know what? I might even try to get one of these little snap-on calendars. Shit. And just leave it on July, no matter what month it is.
Oh, God.
The Vega. Come on, dude. It's a Vega. You need to quit hating on the Vegas, dude. God help you get beat by one, man. You're never going to hear the end of it. At least not by me.
And not by Dirk. Dirk ain't going to beat me either. You nor Dirk.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. It's going to hurt real hard if that does happen. Can you imagine that? How do you explain that with all that card's history, getting beat by little old Vega?
Yeah. Well, we're getting ready to start on the new motor again. So by the end of this week coming, I'll have ordered the block for it, and then I have everything else. So 582 cubic inches. Good luck.
Wow. See, you better do. Maybe you shouldn't race. Maybe you just shouldn't race, Dirk, because if all that cubic inch, and you get beat by that little old small block LS3 that he has. Oh,
you know how that feels, right? That was a long ride home for you.
Oh, no, I didn't get beat by an LS3.
No, you got beat by something
a
little smaller, a little thick cylinder.
I got beat by a V6 turbo. I didn't get beat by an LS3 turbo.
Yeah. That must have been a long ride home. No flip flops.
No, I brought my other pair, though. No, I definitely had flip flop. It was a long ride home because then I get two blowouts on the trailer coming home. So yeah, it was a ride home, man. It was definitely a ride home. But no, man, it's good for him, man. Like I said, I'm glad it's on there. Good month, and you know, and you know what, too? If you ever do race that car, remember, man, sometimes shit happens. You might spin. You might get out of the groove. You don't know. And that thing just starts taking off and beats you. With that little old V8 in it. Oh,
yeah.
And beats you on a 26-inch tall tire, dude. See, that's even worse. At least Randy had a 28-inch tall tire.
Yeah, you know that ain't gonna happen.
I can't bet against the Vega. So you know, I'm just saying, shit happens.
So you're a born loser, is what you're saying?
No, I drive a car of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only
and the Mustang
not,
and the Mustang
the
wasn't car of the year
GM.
How many times?
Listen, the only thing that's not GM on my car is the rear end. Everything else is. So it's not like it's a whole bunch of different things into one car. It's all GM except for the rear end.
Hey, I'm getting ready to put a Ford rear end back in my car.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna do this. I'm gonna do a Ford 9-inch, the chrome moly sheet metal 9. I don't think the Dana 60 is going to. I don't think the Dana 60 is going to hold this new motor.
No.
No. So, and my chassis guy heavily advises me that the rear end has to be put in the car before the new motor is put in the car.
Dang. Why is that, though? I thought Dana's were pretty tough rear end.
Dude, that Dana's been in the car since 1992 when the car was built. Yeah, I mean, granted, it's had new axles. I keep up on stuff like that. He just doesn't feel like a stock, even a stock Dana, is going to hold that much horsepower.
Well, how much horsepower? What's the most horsepower that car's had in it?
I don't know. I don't even know what the horsepower
of my
car
is. I mean, with the other owners. I mean, what kind of numbers was it running with the other owners?
Nothing ever over 800.
Hmm.
You got to understand, the car is light. The car is super light, so it doesn't take a lot of horsepower to get that thing moving. You know?
So
and
why
then since I've owned...
Rent? I mean, are you changing it just as a preference?
No. I'm changing it to safety. I don't need to spin an axle tube or something, you know. when I had the car apart, we pulled the rear end out of the car, and it looked like it had spun an axle tube. You know, it broke the weld, the plug
right.
Weld. So we welded it back up, and I'm just not. My life to me is worth a lot more than trying to be cheap and not putting a brand new rear end in it.
Right.
So, you know, does it slow down the build and does it slow down things? Yeah, it does. But, you know, I've got other people in life to think about. You know, my wife, my stepdaughter, you know, my employees. You know, that's all those things take preference over me having fun. So, you know, I'll take my chassis guy's advice, and we'll do a sheet metal 9 and be done with it.
Well, I like the 9-inch because I'm lazy. I'll be honest.
You know, the nice thing about
that. Four bolts on each side, pop the axles out a little ways.
Right.
Take the
right.
Both of it and have a nice day. So, yeah, you know, I'm lazy when it comes to shit like that, so.
Yeah, that and I pretty much have the rear out of the car sold. I have somebody that's interested in the car, in the rear end. And he's getting everything. He's getting shocks, brake to brake, four-length bars, everything. He's getting everything. So when the rear comes out of the car, it'll be sold brake to brake with all the four link bars, which will help, you know, the new rear end. And then I have a buddy of mine that has a center trunk, aluminum center trunk, titanium gears, and he's done with racing. So I'll buy that for $1,000. You know, that's like a $2,600 center chunk. So
Zeke, you gonna be racing that car? You gonna be racing that car 8th mile? Or are you gonna still run it out the back door?
No, I'll still run it out the back door because I do. I enjoy quarter mile racing. I really do. But the reality is everybody, sportsman guys, are all going 8th mile. You know, 8th mile's fun. I like 8th mile. It shit happens real fast. You know, it's there and over. The programs run really fast, like the races. When you're running an 8th mile race, you know, you can have 2 and 3 times the cars of a quarter mile race because they get them done pretty fast. But I still like quarter mile, and I want the ability to race quarter mile.
What gear do you run in there?
Yeah.
Or what gear do you run inside of that light car?
Well, the right now it's got a 411 in it. The new gear setup will be a 430. You know, it right now with the in the quarter mile, it shifts. I'm sorry, I got a cold or something. I shift the car right now at 6,800, and it goes out the back door at 7,000. So the gearing set up pretty good for that motor. It's just that motor just doesn't make any horsepower.
Wow.
So.
Well, I'm going to go do that bracket thing again next month.
Oh, I love it.
Just because I'm that bored.
It's fun, man. I mean, shit.
But I am going to run, NMCA. I just found out that my car will be legal to run I forgot the name of the class. But they're saying that it's got to be a stock suspension class. So when I was talking to the one guy, I'm like, describe stock suspension. Four links aren't allowed, because I said Mustangs have four links. So, and what's on it? The way they come out of Detroit? Because anything you change isn't stock anymore. Anything you have to put on that's aftermarket is not stock anymore. So what does stock suspension mean? And then he was, you know, same questions and debates that we have on the show. And then I said, I have a Vega. He goes, oh, is it a chassis car? I said, no. Stock front. It's got stock front suspension, but I have a Ford 9-inch in the back. And he says, yeah. He goes, you just have to run because I have a big block. I have to beat a certain weight. I go, a certain weight? What, a car's got to be heavier? It's not heavy enough with a big block in it? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, oh, dude, are you guys, like, now I forgot. Now I realize why I don't class rate. It's too many fucking rules.
Yeah,
but
then
he was like, they told me I could probably, you know, he saw the car, so I showed him a picture of the car. And he goes, you could run that car in this class. I just to be on a 275. I have to run a 275 tire.
There's some fast cars in that run 275s.
No, it's not that 275 class. I think that's why you don't have a chassis. You can't be a chassis car. So, you know, there's limitations, and I think there's a cubic inch limitation in there too. I have to look at all the rules. He said there's going to be some things that change next year anyway. But running at 275, how wide is that tire? 10.5?
I don't know. Yeah, I would say.
Okay.
Maybe
well,
a little
a
bit bigger, maybe 11.
Well, if that's the case, I have a 10.5W on my car now, 11-inch footprint. So it's not going to hurt my car. And the way some of these guys are running some of the times with that 150 shot I have on the car, shit, I'm right there with most of those guys.
Well, sounds like you need to step it up to a 250 shot.
Well, you know, I'm already going back to the short, small block anyway. So.
Yeah. I might be putting spray on my new motor. I want to run a 470 index class. Apparently, this 470 class is really starting to take, you know, gain some ground. And we're actually gonna try a couple races in the 55 Chevy. We're gonna travel a little bit and see how we do, because that car runs 440s turned down. We can turn it down a little bit more, you know, change the shift point and get it to run, you know, 470 all day long with no problem, you know. So, but I'd like to put a little bit of gas on my car and see if I can't get mine to run 470s.
Yeah, or take some timing out of it.
What, you mean the 55? Yeah, well, we do. We have it turned down. Like,
oh,
bad.
Wait a minute. What car are you talking about?
Well,
Brandon?
No, what I'm saying is
yours.
The yeah, I'm gonna need to add nitrous to mine to run 470s. The 55, who we're gonna hit a couple races coming up here soon. I'm not sure. I think one of the races is going to be in the Carolinas somewhere. We're going to have to turn it down even more and shorten up the shift point for that to run 470. But it sounds like a fun class. Sounds like, you know, top sportsman, old pro mod type of stuff, you know, because 470s flying. You know, that's hauling ass, you know.
Wow. Well, that'll be, see, now, believe it or not, I prefer the index racing to bracket racing.
It's the same shit, man.
No,
index,
it's not.
Index guys are even worse.
You just run flat. You know what your car runs, and you just run it out the back door. You just run it flat.
But that's the thing, man. You're lifting index racing too. You're looking. You're always looking. And when you're index racing, it's the same thing. You can't break out index racing. So you're always looking. All it is a bracket race that you are, everybody set on the same time. The 470 index race so far, we have found that, that no throttle stops, no nothing. You know, we're super gas, you're allowed to throttle stop and stuff, but the 470 index class, you no throttle stops.
Yeah, that's the other thing you got to do, the index racing. You got to take off all the computer shit. Run it. You got to run the car. You got to drive the car. Care for that shit much. Drive it.
You
drive
know.
It like you sold it. That means, Zeke, you have to learn how to shift from low to high, okay, with your hand. All right? It means you got to take one hand off the wheel, go ahead and do it. It's a quick push, and then grab the wheel again.
Believe it or not, I bracket raced a 6-speed car for some years. It wasn't until I went into Super Pro and decided that I wanted to be really competitive, did the shiftnoid get put in the car.
Yeah.
You know,
but I got to tell you real quick, not to change the subject or anything, but the Cubs are 3 outs away from going to from winning the pennant in 75 years. How you like that?
Wow.
None of us were alive the last time. World War II ended when they won the pennant. Wow.
That's pretty sad.
But you know what? They are the Cubs, and all the fans look worried because they know that crazy shit that happens to them. But, you know, they're up 5-0.
They know it could be another 75 years.
Oh, man. Well, it's been 108 years since they won the World Series. They got two flags hanging in their stadium, one from 1908 when they won the World Series and one from 1945 when they won the pennant. And there's some gray-haired people in there that probably were there when they won the pennant in 1945. I might have to go on Facebook and just put up there, Dodgers suck. But these two teams, it kills me. They're both of these teams are my worst enemies, being the Cardinals fan, and they're both playing for the National League Championship.
I haven't watched baseball in very many years, man.
How come?
When was the last time they struck? In 1992?
91, I believe. 91 or 92, around there.
At that point, I decided that I was not promoting and giving my hard-earned money to guys who made millions upon millions of dollars, and it just wasn't enough. You know,
that's not what they were striking. Wait, hold on. That's not what they were striking about. They had nothing to see. That's the thing about everybody is they always think that when something's going on, when it comes to union stuff and stuff like this, it's about not getting paid enough. That's not what that strike was about. That strike had nothing to do with them getting paid. It's what Major League Baseball wanted to take away from them. They wanted to take away collective bargaining. They wanted to start stripping them of things that they had. And they were like, absolutely not. And you should always have collective bargaining. That's part of the process. You know, there's a happy medium, and then you can't just start saying we're taking this away from you. And no, you're not. You're not taking anything away unless both sides agree to it. So it wasn't about making money. It was just about taking away some rights that they had, that they still have today because of that strike.
Yeah. And you had guys like Barry Bonds crying about he couldn't pay his child support. He needed to have his child support lessened and everything else. I had just decided that I don't even watch football.
Yeah, but Barry Bonds is a fucking punk. Steroid-taking punk. So, you know, fuck him.
Yeah. And you posted something about Pete Rose. I do not like Pete Rose at all. I've seen him in action with fans. He is a total douchebag.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you there, Z. I'm gonna send you something right now.
I've experienced it. I experienced it as a child. I experienced it as, you know, a young adult. You know, he had a restaurant in our area that he would come to. You know, it was his restaurant. The man was an asshole, you know. I don't take anything away from his ability. And honestly, he did not have great ability. He had huge heart and worked his ass off. So I won't take that from him. But as far as being a fan there for the fans and stuff, nah, I don't like Pete Rose at all. But I did like the video that you posted the other day, even though it was Pete Rose.
What's that? The one of
the batting
Rizzo? Oh, dude, that's a class act, dude. I'm not a Cubs fan. I can't stand the Cubs. No love lost between me and them. But that, right, that's what the game is about. The guy felt bad. He thought it was a ball. The umpire called it a strike. And he was just like, hey, man, I'm not trying to show you up, and I apologize for that. I've never even heard of another player this year doing anything like that. I haven't heard a player doing that in a while. But,
no, I'm talking about the batting video with Frank Thomas that you posted.
Oh, that one?
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
I love Brooks. You know, the guy, that's what I'm going to try and find that picture. I'm going to send it to you. I have a picture with Pete Rose, and it was 2006. Oh, Cubs just won. They're going to the World Series. Broke a 75-year streak. Damn it, I wanted that to last forever.
Going to sell some T-shirts tomorrow.
Oh, dude. But you know what, though, man? These guys have played solid all year long. They've been on top of it all year, man. Have not.
I don't know. I think baseball has gotten away from, in sports in general. I'm not even talking about baseball.
They've gotten away from its root.
They got away from the fan. You know, it's just, it's almost impossible for a family to go to a baseball game by the time parking and you eat. You know, it's just, you know, a friend of mine his son plays Major League Baseball in Japan, and they're actually in their playoffs right now, and my buddy is over there for his son, and they're going to do the whole playoffs. They have a chance of winning the World Series, so he's over in Japan, and he tells me that they see baseball so much different than we do in the States. They see baseball as they did in the, you know, the early years of baseball. You know, I think baseball lost a lot in the early 90s.
Yeah,
I think that's when baseball started going downhill. Late 80s, early 90s.
Actually, it even started in the late 80s. It wasn't that people weren't taking steroids. It was the fact that now they're getting caught. And that part of it is just...
And that's where I differ. And that's where I differ with... I tell you what, that's where I differ from most people. Let them take the enhancements. Let them take the stuff that keeps them healthy. Let them take... I really don't care. I want to see the guy get up, you know, and hit a big bomb and 600-foot home run. That's what I go there for. You know, I want to see the untouchable pitcher.
Even though when you say that and you do it like that, you get other things happen. You don't want to see people driving drunk. There's also a reaction to taking steroids. So, you know, you just got to keep everything on an even playing field. Just like that with the racing, man. Everything's got to be on an even keel. And with the best guys, you go. I think there's so many of these records in baseball that should be taken away. Barry Bonds' home run should be taken away. Mark McGwire. Well, here's the thing with Mark McGwire. When Mark McGwire was taken,
He was taking over-the-counter stuff.
It wasn't banned by baseball.
No.
So it was like an amino acid or something. I forget what it was. But they said until baseball banned it, you know, he was going to keep taking it. When baseball banned it, he stopped taking it. So when the question was put to him, did you ever take steroids while you were playing baseball? He had to take the fifth because they weren't asking him the right question. They were asking the question
right.
To fail and say, did you ever take any illegal steroids that were banned from baseball? Then he could have said no. But the minute he would say yes, he can't rebuttal it. So he's got to take the fifth on that. But
right,
you know, he never when he was taking them, he never been like, no, I'm not taking them. I'm taking a substance that's not banned from baseball. When it's banned from baseball, I'll stop taking it.
Right.
And then that next year they banned it, and you know, naturally he had to stop taking it. But dude,
actually,
his rookie year,
was done at that point. He was done at that point. He was retiring anyway.
His rookie year with the Oakland A's, he hit 49 home runs. He probably would have hit 50, but he didn't play his last game because his, I don't know if it was his wife, but at the time, girlfriend, wife, but she was giving birth to his kid. So he took that game off, and he ended that. Every healthy year, that guy hit over 40 home runs, at least over 30.
Yeah.
So the guy was,
yes.
I mean, Barry Bonds, his first year playing baseball, he hit 7. 22, and then all of a sudden, Skinny Minnie started turning into Big Poppy, and they moved that fence in San Francisco. Hell, I could hit home runs out of that field. 307 feet. That's 107 feet further than a little league field. Fuck. Yeah, he's gonna hit him in the drink. That stadium was built for him.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I haven't watched baseball in many years. I could care less.
I've been boycotting football. I haven't seen the game at all this year.
Because
I think Kaepernick is the biggest piece of shit, and the 49ers are letting him play now.
Yeah. This country is on a wrong turn.
Dude, this country's we're going to shit quick. And with our presidential candidates all the way down to all the bullshit that's happening, it's just bad. Bad all the way around. Now I'm trying to get some racing updates right now. Let me see if I can find any from Holly Springs.
They're having a race in Orlando this weekend, too.
You guys getting rain down there? We're supposed to be getting some rain, I think, tomorrow or on Monday.
No, today was the most beautiful day I've ever seen. And our track is doing a thing called Trucks Yeah. If you don't have a pickup truck, you don't go down the track.
Oh, my God, this trailer's for sale. Where's, Odenville, Alabama. Of course it would be in Odenville, Alabama. Dude, I'm looking for a trailer. Damn it. An enclosed trailer.
Buy a Pace or a Hallmark.
I like the Hallmarks. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. I like the Hallmark. I like the Pace, too.
I get a really good deal on it.
Zeke, they want to sell these used ones as much as they do the brand new one.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, man. I bought a company called Husky, right? Killer deal. I think I bought my trailer 28 foot cabinets, interior, light package. I paid $10,500. You know, a Hallmark or a Pace, they were like right around 18 to 20, you know, 20,000. And I regret buying this Husky piece of shit. I really do. I got to take it to my trailer guy. It's chewing one tire, so we're going to have to cut the one axle. And it's a torsion, and they're going to have to readjust it. And I think the company's out of business because I've tried to call them earlier on when I bought the trailer. You know, you get no call back, so, you know, spend the money.
Yeah, I'm looking 26, 28. But, you know, I just bought a brand new truck. And I wanted to put the gooseneck hitch in it. So I was starting to look for something with the gooseneck.
Without a doubt.
But
that's the other mistake.
Maybe you can give me some. I'm trying to find, okay, the 28-foot trailer is kind of what I'm looking for. How big of a trailer do I get with a gooseneck that will at least give me a 28-foot box? Is it a 32-foot?
I think you got to go 32-foot.
Because 32 feet, I'm trying to think how much that overhang that sticks out from the box. Because if that's 6 feet, I would probably have to go to a 34 to get a 28-foot box.
Yeah, because my trailer is 28 foot, and I have a B nose. They don't count that extra space with the B nose and the 28 feet. The box itself is actually 28 feet, and
so
that
wait,
fits
oh,
my
wait,
golf.
That gives me, wait a minute, that's what I need to know. So. The part that goes in the V doesn't count as far as the 28?
Correct.
So you actually have a 28 box with a V on it?
Correct.
Oh, shit. See, isn't that, so now if I find a V nose that's a 28, that's talking about the square box part of it, not the V nose part of it, is included.
Correct. But with my golf cart and my race car, I have about a foot and a half a room in between the two.
Wait, between you, is that counting all the way up using the V?
Yeah, I have my V does. I have cabinets, so my cabinets go into the V.
Okay, so
and
they're right. Touched. So a golf cart and your car fits in.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm looking for.
You know, if there was no cabinets in the V, there wouldn't be no problem at all because the golf cart would slide right up in there.
Right.
But it's close, you know. So, and honestly,
wow.
I really wouldn't have the golf cart, but my wife was like, I want the golf cart. When we go to the track, she don't ever go to the track. I like the scooter. I like the bike at the track. You know, you can get in out and get to where you need to go. With a scooter, a lot easier.
Wow.
How long is your car? Have you ever measured your car from bumper to bumper?
I did... And I believe it is 16 feet.
Okay. My Mustang 17 feet from bumper to bumper.
I think it's 6, I think it's 16 feet. Joe Torre played for the Cubs too. Chad.
here.
No, they I'm trying to think no. I can't I'm trying to find a Oh shoot it, Val. Last night was the Pedro and Banning played at the Coliseum. Wow, I'm trying to find I can't find any results on these grudge races. Let me try grudge racer. Oh, here we go. King James and Nemesis. Let me see. Now, everybody and their mothers out there at this place. I mean, it is completely jam-packed. You know, I know these guys that take the videos, but they take like 40 seconds of the video while they're lining up in the cars before burnouts or anything. It's just like, there we go. And then they got to do the burnout. Let's see who wins this race. King James. He's the one who drives out of Detroit, Young Money, or Chicago, I think, Young Money. Let me see. God, how long is this video? Oh. Wow, Nemesis beat him. Wow. Something must have happened. But yeah, man, they're killing it down there, man, at the trick or treat.
Right.
I wanted to be down there too. I wish I was. That would have been an ass kicking thing to go to. Down there. So I guess Nemesis got one over on King James. That could have been. They could have been test hits too, because Young Money looked like they come crawling across the line, so they may have gotten out of it, just not wanting to show nothing off until see how good the launch was, the lead was, and everything like that. But yeah, Shake's down there. I'm surprised he hasn't called in. His battery's probably dead on his phone. I know Tyson's down there because it's huge down there. And, man, wish that would have been a good race to go to. But you know what? Shake was talking to me, wants to go to Baldy's race. He wants me to fly down in December to Orlando.
Okay.
Because that's the last race of the year, and that thing is pretty big.
What's the date on that?
He was going to get back to me on it. He says it's either the first or second week December. But I got to find out about that. And go down there, and then you know, we got the no prep race coming up too. So there's They got that coming up. You know what? Tonight it's just
no guts. You know, no guts. No glory. Tonight. Is that what it is? No,
this is redemption. This is Redemption 6.0 on November 25th and 26th at Tulsa Raceway Park.
I was talking about the race in Orlando.
Oh, I don't know.
It's got to be. I'm looking at their.
I forgot what it is. What did you say it was?
It's called No Guts, No Glory 4.
Yeah, that's probably it.
It's December 8th through the 11th.
Does it say the date?
Yeah, December 8th through the 11th.
Oh, the 8th through the 11th.
Yep.
I'm going to try and make that down. See, that's going to be, it's only like 3 weeks away because I got my race in Vegas on the 16th, the 17th to the 20th in Vegas, PSCA race then. And then, I wanted to go to that No Redemption thing and just pop out there and check all those, because that's going to be a badass race out there too. And then, Florida. You know, I just need to hit like Lotto or something so I can just have my own jet and just fly into wherever I want to go. Then I'll be all right. I'll be good with that. I won't complain or nothing. I'll say, you got a race this week? Yeah, okay, I'll be there. I'll fly in. They'll say, you want us to come pick you up at the airport? No. My limo will take me to the track. Thank you, though. Yeah. Can only wish. But now, I'm trying to work that end out here right now. And I'm trying to get some real shit going, you know, with all this stuff. Because you know what, I watched this interview with Jungle Pam, and you know she was saying how much Jim Lieberman hated NHRA. So these guys were having problems with NHRA back in the 70s. You know, with the fact that you have the no preps and street outlaws blowing stuff up and all these guys, man, it's kind of a, and you know what too, is like, you know, I heard IHRA is up for sale.
Yeah, I just heard that. I had a buddy of mine call me yesterday, so, you know, and that's not good for myself because, you know, my local track is owned by IHRA. It's not a sanctioned track. It is owned by IHRA. So they've been having a lot of problems and issues. So if they fold, you know, then I have to travel 2 hours.
Wow. You know, it's just all good, man. I want to see. I want to see this thing. I wish I knew how. How do you buy an IHRA?
You have enough money.
You just get a group of people together and say, "Hey, we're going to buy IHRA."
Yeah, pretty much.
See, I would change IHRA though. I wouldn't, in a sense, to where, yeah, you still have IHRA, but you know what? I'd want to talk to the no prep people, you know, with Shannon and say, hey, you know what? Getting these tracks to run this and that, we should broaden our horizons, man. We got IHRA, and we can get tracks now, and we can, you know, and just put that, those, I'm telling you, man, watching the no preps on the live feed and stuff like that, man, badass, man. It is. Watching those cars going down a track like that, it's just, it's amazing.
I know all these guys should at least, you know, find one of these classes that are really, really doing good, whether it's the 275 class or X32 or, you know, put in an index class like the 470. These big sanctions, IHRA or NHRA, are not learning anything from, like, the PDRA, where, you know, a bunch of people come to those races, these lights-out events. These lights-out events that they have in South Georgia bring more people than any two NHRA events combined and any 10 IHRA events combined. You know, they need to take one of these classes that everybody wants to see and incorporate it and get rid of some of these stupid classes like, you know, I forget what the class is called, but it's like the comp class. Nobody watches that shit. It's boring. It's beyond boring.
Here's the other problem, though, too, Zeke. When you go to these a lot of races, you have and I'm not going to jump on the Vega West and the Vega East, but I'm bringing those up because there are five classes and categories that they have. Well, you know, that's great that you have five classes and that but you only have maybe six cars per class, seven cars per class when you run it like in that format that they have. But if you take it and you run it to where you have these classes, you have an unlimited class outside of, be it, you know, they got to be door cars, no dragsters or anything like that. If you want to put a pro mod class, I don't know how you divide those, but you have maybe three or four classes that you have a lot of cars in and not eight or nine classes that you only have a few cars in.
Well, yeah, and you know what they do with those classes that most people don't realize is they combine some of those classes. So it becomes a bracket race. Like, if you're in a class...
Oh, you had to go there. See, now I just threw up in my mouth.
Follow me, though. No, follow me. If you're in a class and I'm in a different class and we race each other, we bracket race. If you're in a class and I'm in the same class and we end up in that you run heads up, it is really... It's complicated. It's really getting complicated. And I think they should just get rid of the complication. If you don't have enough cars, if the cars aren't showing up for your class, you know, guess what? You got to get rid of that class and push that class to a divisional event and not a national event. When I go to a national event, of course, I like Super Gas, so I watch Super Gas. But, you know... I want to see some fast shit, because everything else I can see at my home track.
See, I don't think it should be. I think every class should be a flat, wide open class. Get that budget. You have limitations, whether it's tires, weight, however you do that. But no, having that,
you can't.
No,
you can't.
No,
do,
computers.
You can't.
Yeah, of course you can.
You can't do that, because the guys that like to race. You're taking the low budget guy, and you're totally getting rid of him.
I'm talking about specific events like a no prep, like something like that. You know, redemption going on. I don't want to see a bracket race at redemption. I don't want to see a bracket race at a lights out. I don't want to see no bracket race in there. Everybody running flat as fast as you can. winner take all. Unless they've split the pot at the end, however they do that. But, no, man, I want to see it just go. I mean, every class is wide open, flat, and you have your limitations on your classes for tires, radials, whatever you want, stock front end. And if somebody comes, I you know what, because I've just been watching the no preps and stuff like that and starting to see the pro mods come in to running with the, in the no, you know, it's, and I'm not saying those cars aren't beatable, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're getting enough pro mods to come, give them their own, you know, class to run in. I mean, but you know, that's a promoter thing, and I'm not a promoter, and I don't know how you would work that. You know, you don't want to turn cars away and say, hey, because you have a pro mod, but at the same time, you know, it might be a slight advantage to the pro mod that the cash, you know, was a cash chaser, the one that he just had in Oklahoma City about a month or two months ago, or that pro mod, the two cars from Texas one. You know, I just think, one, I think it was their night. I think those two cars were untouchable. The fact they were a pro mod or sportsman or whatever, I don't know. I don't know that would have mattered. Those guys, they were just on their game. They were set on kill. So, you know, it's like, I don't know if you want to throw that card out and say, oh, they won because they're a pro mod, or just that night they were the better car. So, you know, but that's what I love about this, these no preps. You know, man, I wish I could make that redemption race. I would love to go out to Tulsa and just spectate and watch and sit in the stands and watch some badass cars go down the track. I wonder if that's going to be on a live feed.
I don't know.
See, now if we bought IHRA, we could put it on a live feed, get television rights. And just wait till these no preps. Could you imagine if Shannon's thing got a television rights? She started putting her races on TV, and people start seeing what's happening out there. Man, it's gonna blow. It would blow up so fast. I think people forget about the NHRA. I think that you'd have more people going to a no prep race than you would have, you know, just the regular races. I think once it's out there, I mean, when people, and I, what I mean by people, I mean, everybody in the racing thing, they know about the no preps. They go to the no preps. They've been going to Shannon's races. But I'm talking about the people that don't know
people
about
go
it.
To,
just like grudge racing.
People go to no prep to watch cars crash.
Well, I don't want to see nobody crash.
I didn't say I want to see anybody crash. I'm just telling you, that's why people go to a no prep race, to watch cars crash.
Well,
it's inevitable.
I guess if
it was a no prep race.
Well, you know what? These guys got their cars dialed in to do this, though. You know, I mean, and what I mean by dialed in, I mean, whether they're bringing in power at the end or they're bringing in power, they kind of got their things dialed in. So,
and
you know,
and you kind of have a handful of crashes every.
Well, so. Sometimes weather tracks get a little cold. You know, it this is something we choose to do with our lives, though, when we get behind the wheel. You know, it's Evel Knievel jumped over fountains and canyons and buses and just.
Yeah.
And you're right. People didn't go there. People didn't go there to watch him do it. They went there to watch him see if he crashed. And you're right on that. You know.
Yeah.
But I think once the spectators. I mean, and I mean like. Can you imagine if Shannon got the rights to put it on like Fox Sports 1? They wanted to cover her redemption race in Tulsa, and was on national TV, and people look what Pink Saw Out did. And those weren't even fast cars, but they were drawing people out like crazy to come see these races because it was something different. You know, you got to see a variety of cars, but then you got to watch cars race a tenth of a part, you know, 15, 16 cars that were a tenth away from each other. You know, the thing with the no preps, I think that if somebody ever got one of these things televised or got the rights that just a one show deal, I think their ratings would go through the roof and people would be like, what the heck is this? First, you have
yeah,
to
but people are already watching it. People that you don't even realize are watching this shit.
No, I understand they're watching it, but what I'm talking about is that somebody say where they don't have a track, you know, or they just go out bracket racing. They even never heard of a no prep. A lot of this stuff, if you're not doing it, it's promoting and getting the stuff out there, and doing this stuff for redemption, and especially like in Tulsa, you know, big town, Division I college there, the whole nine yards, and televise it. I mean, look at the viewers that you got that they got in Oklahoma when they had their no prep there. I think it was, I don't know if it was on Bang Shift or I forgot which one it was on. But how many of the viewers they had just watching that? That's just the racing world. You know, that's just something that's, I don't want to say under the mat or under the radar, but yeah, in a sense it is, until it's brought to the forefront. When it's brought to the forefront for everyone to see, it's like it catches on. Look at Street Outlaws when they first started and look where they're at now. You know, we've been street racing since we were kids at one point or another. But look what it's done. It, like Daddy Dave said on the show, 2.1 million or 2.5 million watch the show. 2.5 million watch the show. Imagine now that show goes to a venue, say a Las Vegas, say a Enos, Texas, which was one of my favorite tracks to race when I was driving a funny car. You know, all those kind of places where it can get moved around. You know, and dude, I think you'd have those stands packed to see this kind of racing. I think people would come out to see this. One, the minute you mention TV, everybody wants to be on it. Everybody
right.
wants to be on it. So now you're attracting more cars. Now you're going to get people coming through the gate to see these cars. Dude, I hope something like that happens for Shannon. I hope something like that happens for you know, all the stuff that she's doing. I would love to see that happen and see stuff like that put on TV, you know, and blow that up. I know she's probably sitting home thinking, if that ever happened, man, I'm going to be one busy-ass girl. But you know what? I think, because I watched, I don't know if you watched, but I watched the videos that she puts up. I'm like, damn, I wish I was out there. I wish I was out there. But when this stuff starts, you know, going viral and getting out there, it's going to be huge. It's going to blow up. And you just gotta find someone that'll jump on board with her. And, you know, I think she's got the upper hand too, Zeke. I think that, you know, being a woman and it's not like this is her first race. She's been doing this for a while. I think we should try to get some people in touch with her. The Hollywood people, these. Oh, see what women I have to sleep with to get her a television deal now. Damn it. Gotta talk to my wife and make sure she's okay with it. The things I gotta do for her in Redemption, man. I better at least get a free ticket in if I can land this deal for her.
Yeah, it just depends on what channel you want to put it on. Yeah.
Everybody wants to compete with it. Whatever channel the Street Outlaws on, somebody wants to compete with that show because they see those ratings. And something that she's doing, it would be different, though. It wouldn't be a weekly thing. But if she has four races or six races, you know, she can parlay that into, you know, taping six races and letting them do their editing and cutting and then put it on the show. The bad part is that those races are already done, you know. But
right.
So what? They're no different from anybody else doing it. I think
right.
I would love to see that happen for her, though. I do. I think if you get that stuff out there, and then she started getting a lot of cars, and then you know what? She can move it around as she wants. She can stay in Texas. She can go to Oklahoma. I think that would be badass. But I'm gonna make some phone calls on Monday. I know some people who can threaten some people. I'm gonna give old Steve Pullen from the producer from Pink Sol out. I'll give him a holler. I know he wants to do something real bad. Maybe we get him involved with her and let those two hash it out. See how they have to do it. The only problem I think with Steve Pullen is that, you know, he's got all that the film equipment and stuff like that, and he's probably got to chuck around the country to but you know, they keep it pretty much generated in one spot. You know, and that's what makes that part of the country. You know, that's why I thought that even with Dirk doing the Vega Nats right there, you know, it's in the middle. You know, yeah, people from the West Coast got a little bit of a drive, and people from the East Coast have a little bit of a drive, but, you know, everybody comes together in the middle. I think it's still a good spot. But I would love to see something like that happen. I would love to see that the no prep stuff take off and let's see what we can do with it. Maybe I shouldn't even have said nothing over the air like that. Maybe I should have waited until I talked to some people. Or at least maybe mentioned it to Shannon first. Oops. You know, sometimes I do that, man. See, you know the best way to shut up an Italian, don't you? Tie their hands up.
Right, right.
And they can't say nothing.
She could have been approached already, though. You just don't know.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like stuff like this. This is stuff that racers just do, and they do it because they're racers. They don't look for the accolades or, I want to be on TV, or they just do this because this is how these guys are in the Midwest. You know, I mean, as you are a bracket racer in Florida, these guys in the Midwest, they've been running these no preps and lights out and all these things. I think it's time to bring it to the forefront, man. I think it's time to get this stuff out nationally. Because, you know, I could be wrong, but, you know, it's like a lot of the same people run these no preps, almost as a series. You know, they don't do any other racing but no prep racing. So now it's like, how do you get it out there for the world to see no preps? And you know, people start wanting to look at all the cars from that Street Outlaw, what they've generated. And that's kind of what it comes down to. So in order to do that, or, you know, in order to get that going on, it's, I think it's just one of those things to where it'll happen, I think. Wonder when it's going to happen. What happened? You change your mind?
No, everything went blank. I wasn't sure if it was my phone or your phone.
Oh, well, we're still here.
All right, well, I'm back.
Well, you know, Zeke, I would love to see it blow up. I do. I think it'd be.
Yeah.
And they probably I won't.
I think racing needs to change.
And that's what that's why I like the no preps.
I think racing needs to change with the spectator. I mean, you're always going to have your bracket racing. You're always going to have your index racing. Those guys are, you know, they pay their licenses every year or their memberships every year or every 2 years. And those guys are some of the backbone of IHRA and NHRA. But the reality is the fans who is really makes the money. So you have to I think things are getting boring. NHRA is boring. I mean, I go to Gainesville every year and for the Gator Nationals, but I have no desire to go to any other NHRA event. You know, I have a friend of mine that just won Division II motorcycles, should be going out to Mona in 3 weeks. I don't even have a desire to go out there for that. You know, it's the same shit for 75 years or however how many years.
Now, here's something I want to tell you and to think about. Now, you go to an NHRA event. Now, when you're there at the NHRA event watching one, let's just say the Gator Nationals, there's a lot of racing going on besides Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock, and Drag Bikes. There's a ton of other class racing going on, huh?
Yes, there
is. But all you see, Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock, Drag Bikes.
Yep.
So what are they doing for the rest of the people that are paying for their licenses, the rest of the people paying for all the stuff in NHRA, all the bullshit stuff they got to have on their cars that they don't really need to have, but they have to make them put them on. What are they doing for them? How are they promoting those guys? They've forgotten about the no preps. Is saying... You know, we don't need the NHRA to have fast cars out here because some of our fast cars will beat some of their fast cars. You know, it's
right.
Almost like, and I know probably the guys, they do both, but at the same time as NHRA does nothing for the average Joe. That's what Pink's All Out was so great, because Pink's All Out gave 15 minutes of fame to the little guy. I mean, look what it did for me. I was runner-up in Las Vegas, came in second, and then after that, it was people coming up to me. Hey, are you Teo Russo? Do you have a Vega? And it's just, it goes on and on. So far that in 2007, when I ran Pink's All Out, look where I'm at. I got a radio show 4 years ago just for coming in second. don't know what happened to the guy who came in first. He's nowhere to be found. But yet, here I am coming in second, and all the stuff I've made friends, all that stuff, networking, are coming in second. So you know, it comes down to how you view things. There's nothing out there anymore for the average racer.
Right.
You're gonna spend $800 and hope you win that payout at the end of that bracket race of $1,200. And I mean, $800 is getting to the track, the hotel room, fuel to get there, fuel for the car, all that
you're
stuff.
Doing it for,
and then
you're doing it for the love of it, and like
yeah.
you know, in your hobby. It's because it goes bigger than the paycheck. Because I mean, if you want to go that route, look at Top Fuel Funny Car. It pays $100,000 to win. Every time one of those cars go down the track, it's $12,000 to $20,000 per pass. So add that up, you know, when you have four qualifying runs.
Yeah, and that's why you have to have major sponsorship
yeah.
to run those cars.
So it's you know, it weighs out the same, it's just on a different level.
Drinking the beer. You know what I love? I love about this. They're having this thing. they're showing the guys in the locker room. Chicago Cubs win the World Series. They're in the locker room drinking Anheuser-Busch beer from St. Louis. Rat bastards. But now you know what? I'm hoping this redemption stuff. I want to see it take off. I want to see it take off, man. I want to see it blow up and get going. We'll see. Hopefully, we start getting that up. I'm going to make some phone calls though and see what I can do. I'm going to talk to some people out this way and see what they would want to do about sponsoring. Maybe I can get them to go out to Tulsa and go check it out. And then you know, see if they can something they might want. That's what I'll do. Maybe I'll put it out there to them and just say, hey, go check this race out, man. Tell me if this is worth putting on TV or selling the show. And you know what? Here's the person you want to talk to when you see her. And maybe I better talk to Shannon. Maybe I'll send Shannon a message first before I talk to anybody and see if she's. I'd hate to go through all that. And I said, no, we just like it how it is. We don't want to be on TV. We don't want corporate money to run this. We don't want $1 million of corporate money to run this. But yeah, maybe I'll shoot her a message and see what she says. Oh shoot, I just got a message from Steve Sherman about his Match Race Madness. Yeah, I keep up with that. Today's just been a bad day, man. It's just been one mess after another. I just want this weekend to be over with. But that means I got to go back to work on Monday. So, yeah, maybe I can parlay something tomorrow. But, well, listen, I'm going to end the show a little early because I still got a million things to do.
Sounds good to me.
All right, man. Well, Zeke, thanks for calling in. Everybody on the lines here listening, thanks for calling in. Sorry about not getting the thing up. It was trying to get the show to come up. My board and everything was just not wanting to cooperate. So thanks for everybody on the phone lines. And We'll talk to everybody next Saturday night. Y'all have a good night, and we'll see you, talk to you next Saturday. See ya.
Mickey Thompson Performance Tires carries all the specialty tires you need for street, strip, track, and off-road cars. They pride themselves on providing you with the best performance tires in the world. Mickey Thompson Performance Tires are available at a number of retail locations, such as Performance Plus, Jags, and McCormick Racing. For more information, log on to www.mickeythompsontires.com. Once again, www.mickeythompsontires.com.